This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. So, Parshas Vayetze, lots to talk about. The Parsha begins Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Chorona. The Yaakov Avinu leaves Be'er Sheva and he goes off to Choron. And Rashi famously tells us, Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Sheva, if you're looking at the first box, if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Says Rashi, Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Sheva. Lo yitzorech lichtov, ela vayelech Yaakov Chorona. Famous Rashi doesn't need to tell us Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Sheva. We know that. V'lomo hiski yitzyosu. Why does it have to mention that? It should just say Vayelech Yaakov Chorona. Famous question in Rashi. Ela magid sheyot sheyitzias sadik min amokum. Famously, Rashi tells us, this teaches us that the departure of a tzaddik from a place, oisoreshem, it leaves an impression. Shebizman sheh tzaddik bo'ir, when there is a tzaddik in town, who hoida, he is the marvel of the town, who zivoy, he is the splendor, he hodra, he is the magnificence of it. Yotza misham, but once he leaves, pona hoida, the marvel goes, pona zivoy, the splendor goes, pona hadra, the magnificence, the wonder of that place goes. That's the famous Rashi. Now, last year, or the year before, I forget, we mentioned the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar asks Akasha, we'll quickly chazer the two answers he gives, but this year I want to give a third answer. The Kli Yakar asks the following question. If you look at the next box, this is not the first time one of the Ovis is traveling. Avraham left certain places, Yitzchok left certain places. Why does the Torah have to teach us? Why does Chazal have to teach us that that when a tzaddik leaves a place, it leaves an impression? Why dafka with Yaakov Avinu? Why does it say by Yetzi Yaakov Be'er Sheva? Avram made the exits. Yitzchok departed from certain places. Why doesn't it say the same thing with them? The Yesh Panim Lekan Rukan. Very interesting Kli Yakar. This is we mentioned previously, so I'll do it quickly. Yesh Panim Lekan Rukan. It's coming to teach me a chiddush. When Avram and Yitzchok left their places, when Avraham left a certain place in the course of his life, he didn't leave a tzaddik behind in that city. So pshita sheitziyotzam v'sereshim. So it's clear when Avraham left the place of his birth. So of course that there was an impression on that place because it had a tzaddik. It no longer had a tzaddik. Avokan, but the chiddush over here is Yitzchok v'Rivka nisharusham. Yaakov Avinu is going, but Yitzchok and Rivka were staying there. So Salkadai Tchamina might have thought she'en yitziyosu v'sereshim. That maybe his departure wouldn't leave such a big impression, because after all, Yitzchok and Rivka are still there, Kamash Milon, still that his departure does make an impression. That's the first answer. Second answer, Yesh Lefarish Le'idach Yisa. You can actually interpret it the other way around. Loima, Shedavka Yisyosa Shel Yaakov Oseroshim, it's Davka the departure of Yaakov which left an impression. Avlo Yitzias Avram Yitzchok. Why? Because when they left, when Avraham left with his family, and when Yitzchok left with his family, they left no one behind. So therefore there was no one to appreciate the fact that they'd gone. They don't care that a tzaddik has left town. But other up on the contrary, they're happy that they've gone. Because they're, you know, it's bad for their conscience. etc. But if you go to a place where there are tzaddikim, because the tzaddikim who were left behind, it's difficult for them, for a tzaddik, a fellow tzaddik, to depart from town. Because they enjoy a tzaddik being in town. Those are the two answers of the Kli Yakar. Very nice. A third answer, I heard a few years ago, Rav Baruch Jalofsky, I don't know if you know him, he is Norman Turner's son-in-law. Do you know him? He's an up-and-coming rising star in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Rav in Rav Bet Shemesh, and he's a good speaker, and he came to school a few years ago, and he mentioned this Kli Yakar, and he gave a third answer. This is what he said. Avram and Yitzchak were very famous. Everyone knew about them. The Rambam says that Avram Avinu had tens of thousands of students. So he was a well-known personality, a well-known figure. Yitzchak, everyone knew about the Akedah. That was on everyone's lips. So you would think, so when if they were to leave town, of course it's going to make erosion. That's obvious. I don't need to be told that. But Yaakov Avinu, no one knew about him yet. He was an Ishtom Yoshev Eholim. He would sit quietly in a tent and learn Torah. He was not a public personality. So one would think, when Yaakov would leave, who would know? It wouldn't make an impression. Kamash Melon says Rashi, Vayetzi Yaakov Bereshev, Vayelech Charono, that Lomo Hiski Yitzyasu Magid Sheisiya Tzadik Min Amokum Oyser Roshem. Even a tzaddik, who no one knows about, it makes an impression. And that's a very powerful idea. I remember some years ago, I was in Bnei Brak. I forget which occasion it was, but I went many times. But I think I went once with my son, one of my boys, to go to, before his bar mitzvah, to visit the Gedolim. So I went to Bnei Brak, and I had a certain person I knew. He offered to take me around. You know, you need always someone who's got connections and knows the times and everything. So he said to me, he said, I'll take you to the well-visited Gedolim, and I'll take you to a few others that no one knows about. Okay, that was intriguing. So we went to the famous Gedolim, you know, the Reb Chaim, and I forget, many, many, many others, and Nissen Karelitz, and others. And fine, that was always very, very powerful. But then he took me to off the beaten track, certain people, he says, mark my word, it's worth getting a bracha from this person. And, you know, you sat, you just went into a base of medrash, there was an alti sitting in the back, sitting and learning. But the point is that no one knew about him. This guy happened to know about him. But that is the power of an Ishtom Yoshev Eholim. And that's exactly what Rashi is telling us. That even though he wasn't well known, and he didn't have tens of thousands of Talmidim like Avraham, he wasn't famous like Yitzchak because of the Akedah, but still, Ishtom Yoshev Eholim makes oration. That is the power. And I must say that, you know, everyone is doing their bit for Klal Yisrael right now. And Emes Hashem, we should have Besuras Tovas. But the Bnei Yeshiva, I heard someone told me that in the Chevron Yeshiva, they've set up a system where they're learning round the clock. So you go to Chevron Yeshiva at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, there'll be boys in the Beis HaMedrash. Like in Velozhin of old. Why? Because that's what we're doing for the effort. Amazing. Amazing. And the power of an Ishtom Yeshev Eholim should not be underestimated. Okay, let's press on. So, Yaakov Avinu then leaves town, and he comes to the well, and he sees Rachel for the first time. So take a look at box 2. Let's just go through the psukim, and we'll see something very interesting. Vayhi kasher ro Yaakov is Rachel, and Yaakov sees Rachel for the first time. Bas Lavan achi imay, the daughter of Lavan, who is his mother's brother, Rivka's brother. Vesoynov, and he sees the flock of Lavan. Vayigash Yaakov. And Yaakov approaches, he just rolls the stone off, this heavy stone, they can't move, he just rolls it off. And he gives to drink the flock of Lavan, his uncle. He embraces her, and he cries. And Yaakov says to Rachel, the women mishpacha, ki achi ovio, they're related. Okay, Rashi explains exactly what that means. V'chi ben Rivkohu, he is the son of Rivka, therefore the cousins, their first cousins. Vatorot vatagid lovia. She runs and tells her father. Vayhi kishmaya lovanish as Shema Yaakov. Ben achosai, he hears that Yaakov has come. Vayorot tikrosai, he runs to greet him. Vaychabeklai, and he embraces him. Vaynashiklai, kisses him. Vayveo, basically brings him to his house. Vaysapal lovanish kladvorman. And he tells everything. Fine. Those are the psukim. Says Rashi. 2 points. Vayevk. When Yaakov sees Rachel, he cries. Why does he cry? So Rashi gives 2 pshatim. Says Rashi, Lefishet sofa beruach hakodesh, because Yaakov, when he saw Rachel, he saw beruach hakodesh she'ena nichneses ima likvura. He's not going to be buried with her, and therefore that was a very sad realization, and he cried. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Second pshat in Rashi, Dovache, Lefishet bo biodaim reikonyos. He came empty-handed. Omer Eliezer, Eved Avi Abba. Eliezer, my grandfather's Eved, Avraham Avinu, my Zayda's Eved, Hoya Biyodov, Nezomim, Utsmidim, Umigdonis, he had all these pearls and luxuries and fine things. Va'ani ein biyodi klum, I've got nothing. Why did Yaakov have nothing? Says Rashi, Lefishe Rodaf Eliphaz ben Esav, b'mitzvas Aviv, Eliphaz, the son of Esav, comes running after Yaakov. Achrov Lahargoi, on the instruction of his father Esav, he comes to kill, to assassinate Yaakov. V'hisigoi, and he catches up to Yaakov. Ulefishe Gidl Eliphaz b'chikosh Yitzchok, but because he grew up in his grandfather's house, in Yitzchok's house, Moshach Yoda, he held back, he didn't kill Yaakov. Omaloi, but Eliphaz said to Yaakov, what am I going to do with my father's instructions? My father said, I've got to kill you. A mitzvah is a mitzvah. My father said to do. What shall I do? Omelo Yaakov, Tuma Shebiyodi, here's the etzah. Take all my earthly possessions. Veha'oni choshev kames. Yeah, this is a medrash. It's more in the Dorim that there are four people who are considered like a mace. One of them is an oni. Therefore, take all my goods, all my possessions, and therefore, I'm like a mace, and you have fulfilled the directive of your father to kill Uncle Yaakov. Rabbi Simcha Zissel Broide is the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron. I just mentioned Chevron. He said the following simple question. I can understand why Yaakov Avinu cries that he's not going to be buried with Rochel. I'm sure there's very deep meanings about being buried together and whatever that may mean. But he cries about that because there's a spiritual aspect to it. But he cries because he comes empty-handed. So he hasn't got money. That doesn't sound like the obvious. Is that such a disaster for Yaakov Avinu? He cries because he doesn't have material wealth. Since when does material wealth have so much value for Yaakov Avinu? So Rav Simcha Zissel Broide gives a very interesting answer. The answer is, Yaakov Avinu was disturbed about the problem of Kibud Avim because he wept because it would bring shame to his parents. It would bring shame to his parents that he'd come empty-handed. Avraham Avinu was a wealthy man. He came, loved and appreciated that. If he would come empty-handed, there's a pagam, there's a little bit of a blemish, as it were, on his parents. And therefore, says Reb Breida, he wept because it would bring shame to his parents. Yitzchok and Rivka, as I've written here, were aware that Lavan had not forgotten Eliezer's arrival with camels laden with gifts, and here Yaakov had nothing to offer in the way of gifts. That doesn't sort of shed Yitzchok and Rivka in the best of light, and that's why he cried. Now, interestingly, he says something very beautiful which supports this. At the end of last week's parasha, when his parents tell him to go, it says, Vayishma Yaakov el Oviv el Emoi, Vayelech Padeno Aram. And he goes to Padan Aram. It says Rav Simcha Zissel Broide, the Chevron Rosh Yeshiva, the Torah could have said, you know why he went? Because he's fleeing from Esav. Why does the Torah say, Vayishma Yaakov el Oviv Emoi, Vayelech Padeno Aram? The answer is, because do you know what really drove him? The Torah is teaching us that the primary reason that he went is not because he was running away from Esau, but because his parents told him to go. That's exactly the point. So, Vayishma Yaakov el Oviv el Imoy Vayelech Padeno Aram, because his parents told him to go. That was the primary reason. Yes, Esau was out to get him, but that was the secondary reason. The primary reason was Kibud Av Ve'im, an astonishing idea. Now, on that second idea, Rabbi Hartman makes a very interesting observation. We just said Eliphaz ran after him, and Esav had told him, you've got to kill Yaakov. So he came, he caught up with him, he was going to kill Yaakov, and then he held back because there was a sort of a nitzutz of Kedusha. He grew up after in the house of Yitzchok, he held back. But then he said, what shall I tell my father? My father's instructed me to kill you. Take all my property, and oni choshev kames. Fine. Says Rabbi Hartman, very interesting observation. There is a deep-rooted need in every human being to be self-sufficient. What is Pshat Oni Choshev Kames? Why is Oni Choshev Kames? Because there is a deep-rooted need in every single person to be self-sufficient. What is it rooted in? It's rooted in the concept of Nahama de Kisufa. Nahama de Kisufa is a very interesting concept. A lot to say, but just a bekitza. The first parak of Mesilas Yesharim, the beginning of Derech Hashem, the Ramchal discusses the big questions. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create this world? What's it all about? The answer is, says the Ramchal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a meitiv. He wants to do good. What is the best, the biggest good he can possibly do? To pleasure us, to make us, to give us incredible hanah. Where is the makom of this hanah? Olam Haba, not in this world. How do we get there? He creates something called Olam Hazeh. If we go through Olam Hazeh, then we will, if we earn it, we'll get Olam Haba, and that is the Mokum of Idun, that is a place of total enjoyment and pleasure of reward for hard work in this world. That's the Ramchal, the famous, in the beginning of Derech Hashem, and the Mrs. Shom and Perek Aleph, etc. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just put us straight in Olam Haba? Why have we got to earn it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just taken the Neshamas and put us straight in Olam Haba. Why have we got to go through this sometimes very challenging world for 70, 80, 90, 120 years? Well, why? The answer is Na'amod Kisufa. Na'amod Kisufa means you don't want to be a person who gets free gifts. Na'amod literally means the bread of embarrassment. The moshel. Yeah, I use this moshel in school a lot. I think the kids understand it. Imagine you get a kid who does a summer job. So he's going to work in Grudzinski. My kids, most of them, they worked in Grudzinski over the summer. I think it's very good educationally. They work a few weeks, they get paid, whatever they get paid, £6 an hour, and they suddenly understand what money is. Right? It's a useful education for them. So a boy in school, let's say, works in Grudzinski for a few weeks, he gets £6 an hour. 5 hours a day, £30 a week, 5 days a week, £150 a week, works for 4 weeks, £600. Good. He gives his maisik off him, and he's now got £540 left. That next Motzei Shabbos, after he's been working for 4 weeks, he's going to celebrate. He's going to go out with a few friends and he's going to buy himself a shawarma. That shawarma will taste a lot more tastier than if he were to have got £10 from his mum or dad when they would say to him, I'm going out with some friends Motzei Shabbos, can I have some money? And they give him £10 and he goes and buys a shawarma. Because yigia kapecha kiseicha l'ashrecha v'tevlach, you work hard for something, you enjoy more. If you're given a free gift, there's a tinge of Na'amod Kisufa. I'm sure many boys would happily accept the £10 on the Motzei Shabbos to go buy a shawarma, but it's Na'amod Kisufa compared to if you earn it. That concept of Na'amod Kisufa is a deep-rooted need in every single person to be independent and to earn our keep and to do things ourselves. Now, if it refers to finances and to money and to physical things, then it certainly relates to Ruchnius. And therefore, Rabbi Harman says, Kal v'chomer, what does that mean, a deep-rooted need to be self-sufficient in Ruchnius? The answer is, it could mean in Torah knowledge that we shouldn't settle for, you know, second or third or fourth level. We should try and aspire to greatness. For example, we should aspire to have a working knowledge of halacha. To be proficient in Torah, that you don't have to ask. You know, you can look up. You can know where to look. You know, many questions. It's not really a shaila. It's just amratzas. You just need to open your ears to have a basic working knowledge. He was very taken some years ago. He came across a couple whose parents are very wealthy, but they chose not to be supported at all, and they live a life of poverty in Eretz Yisrael. They're klei kodesh. But they and the father-in-law told Rabbi Hartman that my children, they're oni mirotzen. Oni mirotzen, that means they are voluntarily poor. I've offered them, but they don't want. Which is an interesting concept, very rare. Most aniim are not an oni mirotzen, right? But they chose to do that. And yet, when it comes to ruchnias, some people choose to remain unlearned. And it's not really an excuse because there's opportunities. Rabbi Hartman tells a story, and I can say this because he tells it publicly, he tells it, and he's given me rishus to say it. But when he was an exceptional person. So when he was in yeshiva, he was a shame dover already then, aged 21, 22. And one day a guy comes over to him and says, "You Yeshua Hartman?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "Rav Gustman, not Rav Gustman. I've forgotten his name now. A legend in our lifetime. What's his name? They just brought out a sefer on him. A legend in our life, in his lifetime. They used to call him the Disco Rebbe. You know what I'm talking about? Rav Yitzchok Grossman. Grossman. I said Gustman. Sorry, it's Rav Yitzchok Grossman. I apologize." So his father was Rabbi Yisrael Grossman, right? So he was a dayan in Eretz Yisrael. He was a very choshev Talmud Chacham. And he says, Dying Grossman wants to see you. So he says, me? He says, yeah. He didn't realize this Dying Grossman had a daughter. He was thinking of making a shidduch. And this was like a faher to even begin for, even with go before he accepted the shidduch. So Haman calls him, knocks on the door. He was learning, he goes in. You're Yeshua Haman, yeah? Come take a seat. He schmoozes a little bit. And he says, tell me which Sadarim do you know? Sadarim, you know, there are six Sadarim. Noshim, Zikim, etc. So Haman says, I've been in Yeshiva, you know, for a few years. So, okay, which Masechtas do you know? So he says, well, we've learned a few Masechtas. Yeah, okay, so which ones? What, you mean from beginning to end? Well, the Yeshivas are normally done the first, you know, 20, 30 plus, maybe on a good year. He says, okay, thank you very much. Thank you for coming. Right? Rav Haman says that about, I mean, it was the first time he was exposed, as it were, to someone who had aspirations that a 20-year-old, 21-year-old should know, you know, complete Siddharim. Should know, that means a third of Shas. That a person should, and that was the expectation. That's what he was looking for. So this concept of being an Oni Choshev Kameis is rooted in the concept of Nama de Kisufa. Nama de Kisufa, if it applies to finances and to Gashmias, then certainly applies to Ruchnias. And therefore, we should aspire to be sort of, as it were, aspirational and certainly self-sufficient when it comes to matters of Ruchni. Okay, let's press on with a couple more ideas. Again, one is another idea from Rabbi Hartman, very interesting observation. Later in the parasha, Leah gives birth. And the first child, of course, is Reuven. The Pasuk says, Vata Leah vateled bein, vatikra shmei Reuven. And she calls his name Reuven. Why? Ki omra, ki roa Hashem ba'oni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seen my affliction, ki atze yevani ishi. Now, my husband will love me. Now, that's what the Pasuk says. Why? Because the Pasuk Pshat, I suppose, is that Leah felt that Yaakov Avinu loves Rachel, and now I've given birth, I've made him into a father, therefore there'll be a special bond between me and him. That's what the Torah says. Rashi quotes Chazal and gives a totally different reason. Why did they call him Reuven? Says Rashi, Vatikra Shmei Reuven, Rabbi Seinu Pirshu, Omra, she said, Re'u ma bein bni leven chami. See the difference between my son, Reuven, and the son of my father-in-law. Who's the son of my father-in-law? So it's Leah talking. Leah's father-in-law is Yitzchak, right? Leah's father-in-law is Yitzchak, Yaakov's father. The son of my father-in-law is Esav. Esav mocha habocher el Yaakov. He sold his birthright to Yaakov. And my son, Reuven, v'zeh lo mocha li Yosef, he didn't sell out. V'loi irer alav, he didn't complain when Yosef got the Bukhara, you got two tribes, Menashe and Ephraim. V'loi oid, not only that, shelo irer alav, ela shebikish lo yitzim l'abar. He was the one who tried to rescue him. So Reuven say is a sort of a contraction of Re'u ma bein bni leben chami, Reuven. So how interesting. The Torah gives one reason, and Chazal give a totally separate reason. How strange. What's going on? The answer is this. There's many riots for this now's all the time. But the Torah always says things which are tangible, which you can see with your own eyes. Ki ro Hashem ba'oni is the reason now. And that's tangible. I can see that now I've got a son. Yaakov will spend more time with me. There'll be a special attachment between. That was real. That was happening now. Chazal can say things which are not seen. For example, there are many instances in the Torah where Chazal tell us about things. Dina was put in a box. Where does it say that in the Torah? It doesn't. Why? Because she was in a box. She was hidden. It's not visible. Anything which is not visible, the Torah doesn't really speak about. Therefore, the Torah talks about something which is visible and tangible. Ki ro Hashem ba'oni is visible. It's tangible. It's there. You could see it. Chazal can say something which is not seen. Yosef is 17 years old now, but the Nevuah will come true, you know, in the future date. He wasn't even born. This is Reuven's birth. This is, when this happened, Yosef was 17 years old. So this is way down the line. This is 20 plus years down the line. So Chazal can talk about something which is going to be Al-Shem Osid, but not something which is right now. Okay, I don't think there's time for the last psak. The last Dvar Torah will take a few minutes. It's already, we're over time. Miz Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us kerch. We should meet again next year, Parshas Vayetze, in Eretz Yisrael, Miz Hashem. Okay, we'll leave it there. It's later already. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.